introduce our subject today. We started a month ago and haven't had a chance to speak for the last month or so, but anyhow, we did a message on observing angels, and I even gave it a subtitle called The Angelic Reset, as everything is resetting in society these days after the COVID and all of that. But there is an angelic reset, and you'll learn a little bit about why I use that as a subtitle. But it was fun just to look at some things, facts about angels. And basically what we did is looked at just information about angels and got to a certain point and couldn't continue. But it worked out real well because in our study in Sunday school this morning, we were looking at angels in the prophetic program. And today we're going to actually be looking at angels in the dispensation of grace. And you'll see that's why it's called the gospel, the angelic reset. But also it's interesting that the last week we had a conference about spiritual warfare. And that has to do with spiritual wickedness in high places and effects that we have. And certainly that work will work right into our study today so that all of it's going to fall together, I believe, quite well. So in Colossians chapter 1, let me read a passage of scripture to you, and then after prayer, explain a little bit that's here so that you'll get an idea of how important this passage of scripture is. Starts in verse 12, where it says, "Giving thanks to the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom," in God's dear Son, "we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who," speaking of God's dear Son, "is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him," that's the Lord Jesus Christ, "were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, or principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your wicked minds, hath the wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." What a passage, huh? Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we pray that we might get a little bit better glimpse of this passage of Scripture just even to begin our study today. And then, Father, may we get a glimpse of some of the things that you called invisible in this passage, especially as it relates to us in this dispensation of grace in which we live. And so, Father, we pray that your Son would have the rightful place in our message today as everything centers around him. It's made by him and for his preeminence. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I would like to say a few things about the passage before I do a little bit of reminder of the things that we studied a month ago. And that is, in this passage of Scripture, it's talking about God in this age of grace who's made us, who delivered us, Gentiles, who believed the gospel, from the power of darkness unto the kingdom of God's dear Son, and he did it through the redemption that's in Christ's blood. The Lord Jesus Christ redeemed us from the penalty of sin, and freed us from the penalty of sin, and forgave us all our sins when we trust the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But when you begin in verse 15, that Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, you can't see God. No man's seen God at any time. The Bible says anybody who's seen God has actually seen Christ. He is the image of the invisible God. He's also the firstborn of every creature. It says, for by him, and that's not birth-wise, that has to be above all of creation. And that's why verse 16 says, for. This is why he is that. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. So we know the things on earth, they're certainly visible to us, but there are things in heaven that are invisible to us. And catch the idea when Paul's using the word things, what he's talking about. He says, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by him and for him. So when it says he created all things, we're talking about all those governmental positions and the earth. There's a human government, there's a setup, there's a national government, and there's local state governments for us, and there's county governments, and there's city governments, there's all these principalities, power, dominion, and might on earth, but those things also exist in heaven. And Jesus created both those, which are on earth and which are in heaven. Those are visible and those are invisible. And why did he create them? They were created by him and they were created for him. It says, and he is before all things. That means he comes first. And by him all things consist. I'm reading a book, and it just talks about the power of God and how everything, the Adam, everything is just held together in Christ's hands. Just like he created it, he spoke it, and it came into existence, he could just unleash it, and it would just fall to pieces, whether it be things in heaven or things in earth. Verse 18 says, and he is the head of the body. Now, this is important for you to get. He is the head of the body, the church. In your Bible study, I don't know where you are in your Bible study, but in the Bible you have a division. You have mostly the Old Testament, all the way Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, early part of the book of Acts, all about the nation of Israel and God's purpose for the nation of Israel. When God raised up the Apostle Paul, he sent him to the Gentiles, and now today, in this age that we're living in today, when a person believes the gospel, they become a member of the body of Christ. So God was forming a nation, the nation of Israel, that he's going to use in his earthly purpose. And now he's forming the body of Christ, as you're going to see, for his heavenly purpose. And we who believe the gospel and are saved today, we are that phrase there. He is the head of the body, the church, the called out assembly, the called out people who have believed the gospel. We are the body, the church, who, speaking of Jesus Christ, is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that is in resurrection. He's the first to be raised in a glorified body, and he's the first for a reason, that in all things he might have preeminence. What are the things? Things in heaven, things in earth, thrones, dominions, principalities. He's going to have dominion over them all. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself. That's not all beings. God has not reconciled all beings. There's going to be humans that are in hell. There's going to be angelic beings that are in hell. Satan is going to be in the lake of fire. So he hasn't reconciled all beings. He reconciled all things. The principality, or the thrones, dominions, principalities, all that governmental authority, it was created by him. It's created for him. It pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. And so he's the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. In all the governments of heaven and earth, he would have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, I say whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, now we get to the us. Hath he that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, we were lost sinners, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. We're part of God's purpose to make Jesus Christ preeminent in all things. Now, I start here just to remind you that there are things visible and things invisible. We started there in our Sunday school class talking about some things that are invisible. And what we're going to be talking about is the angels as it involves us in the dispensation of grace. But just to kind of give you a very quick rundown of a lot of details we covered last time we talked about angels are created beings. And because they're created by God, they're called sons of God in the Old Testament. They were created by God at the time when it said that God laid the foundation of the earth. The sons of God shouted for joy. So in Genesis 1:1, it says God created the heaven and the earth. Before he did the earth, the heaven was created, and so were those angelic beings. And when God started creating, he laid the foundation of the earth. Those angelic beings are shouting for joy, watching him create the earth. Their home, their habitation, as the Bible calls it, is heaven. You read the Bible, they're called the angels of heaven. That's their habitation. Earth is man's habitation. Angels are also associated with the stars, and that's an interesting thing to think about the heavens and the stars that are out there, and the dominions and principalities and powers. The ones are on earth, but there's ones out there in the heavens that are controlling those places in those heavens. And there's been a rebellion that took place in heaven, probably Genesis 1:1. And then when you come to 1:2, it looks like there's a judgment that took place on the earth. And the point is there is a rebellion that took place in heaven. That rebellion came to the earth as Satan caused Adam and Eve to disobey God, and Satan now has become the god of this world. And so there's a rebellion first in the heavens and then in the earth. And then when we come to Genesis chapter 6, we found out that the angels actually intruded. They left their own habitation, the Bible said. They came down and married the daughters of men and produced giants in the earth in those days. We find out that not only did the flood wipe out most of them, but there were some giants after that that Israel wiped out. But at the same time, God said that it says in Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2, that the angels that left their own habitation, God has reserved in everlasting chains under the darkness of this world to the judgment, the great judgment of the great day. That those angels who left their habitation, those angels who came down to earth and cohabited with men, that those angels have been taken and they're imprisoned now in the heart of the earth, waiting for a day of judgment. But that's not all the rebellious angels. Satan and his angels, they're still loose. They're still operating. But those rebellious ones in Genesis 6, it's like the, when you look at Genesis 6, it says the imagination of man was only evil continually. And those angels in heaven, seeing man in his total rebellion against God, joined in that rebellion and wanted to be a part of it. But they got judged. So the point is, not to go back into those details, but angels are spirits, and yet there is a spiritual body the Bible talks about. That's why they sometimes appear as humans. They're always men. But even when they appear to humans, sometimes they'll sit down and eat. So they can appear in physical form and even sit down and eat. They're not given in marriage. And yet when we look in the gospel accounts, we realize when the Lord was here that many of the demonic angels came down, devils the Bible calls them, came and indwelt men. And when they indwell man was able to break chains. And sometimes I wonder, does the DNA of man even change when the angels enter in? There's a bunch of information about what demons can do inside of a man. But that's in the gospel account, as the Lord was here and they were fighting the Lord's coming, that they were doing that. Just a little indication of what they can do inside of a person. They are called watchers in the book of Daniel. And so we're going to pick up some things in the book of Daniel. So take your Bibles and turn to Daniel and go to chapter 8. Now, I'll say this because this is kind of, we're not quite to the conclusion of where we concluded last time. But the point is that God used angels to inform and to protect and even sometimes inflict punishment on Israel and or her enemies, all in accordance to his purpose that he has for Israel. And his purpose for Israel is that all the nations of the earth are going to be ultimately blessed through them when Jesus Christ comes and set up his kingdom on earth and reigns from Jerusalem over all the earth. And so angels were used in his ministry with the nation of Israel. And in our study, we're studying Daniel chapter 10 today. But in Daniel chapter 8, you get a little idea, and this is important to our study, of how God was using Israel and Israel using angels in Israel's program. In Daniel chapter 8 and verse 15, it says, now Daniel saw a vision, and it says in verse 15, and it came to pass when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. He's as the appearance of a man, but he's not a man. You'll see who he is. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So Gabriel is the man Daniel saw. That's Gabriel, who is an angel. The voice is the Lord Jesus Christ telling Gabriel to tell Daniel what that vision meant. Verse 17, so he came near where I stood, and when he came near, I was afraid and fell on my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. And he explains prophetically how God's going to bring the nation of Israel, how they're going to go through Gentile powers, the last Gentile power will be the Antichrist power, put down by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to fulfill all of Israel's blessings. But the angels come and they tell Daniel. Daniel gets the vision and then the interpretation comes. Come over, look at chapter 9 and look at verse 21. Another vision that Daniel had. And it says in verse 21, "And while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I have seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation." So he realized it's an angel. He's flying. He's coming to Daniel. And then in verse 22, "And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding." You'd have to be in our Sunday school to realize what was revealed to Daniel in Daniel chapter 9. It's the timing of everything, of when Jesus Christ is going to accomplish his purpose in the nation of Israel. Interesting study. So the angels, as we're studying it, here they are informing Daniel, giving Daniel and the prophets of the nation of Israel information concerning what God has promised Israel and how God's going to fulfill that promise, even down to the timing of how that promise is going to be fulfilled. Angels are bringing that information. We also learn in the book of Daniel that the heavens, the Most High, ruleth in the kingdoms of men. We saw in our last Sunday school class how the angelic world and the principalities that are in the heaven have an effect upon the earth. Even who's going to control and rule the earth. There's Prince of Persia, there's a Prince of Grecia, there's Michael the Archangel, he's the Prince of the nation of Israel, and he's the one that's ultimately going to cause Israel to be blessed in the earth. So those principalities and powers in the heavens that are unseen have an effect upon the earth, fulfilling God's purpose for the nation of Israel. We studied those things. Now, with all that understanding, I want you to understand there's some things the angels don't know. So I want you to hold your place in Daniel, and I want you to come, and this is where we closed the last time in our study. Come over to 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, Peter is one of the 12 apostles to the 12 tribes of Israel, talking to them about the things that God has promised them. And he, verse 7 is talking about the trial of faith, so he's talking about the tribulation that's going to come to them. It says, verse 9. It says, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9, "Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you." Now, the grace coming to the nation of Israel is the second coming of Jesus Christ to set up his kingdom on the earth. And the prophets of the Old Testament, they received the information, but they didn't understand all the information they had. They just prophesied because God said, say this, so they said it. Write this, so they wrote it. And so they are actually studying their own writings. But not only them, watch, keep reading. "Searching what and what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow." They prophesied that Christ was going to suffer first and then be glorified later. That's the difference between the first coming and second coming of Christ, which people didn't understand the difference. They just saw Christ coming and that he was going to set up a kingdom. But they had to learn that there was the sufferings first and then the glory that's going to follow. Verse 12, "Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us that did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that preach the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven." Well, that's the apostles. Now they understand some things that the prophets of old did not understand about Israel's salvation, and about the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. So he says, the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. When Jesus Christ came to earth, the angels did not see, just like the prophets didn't see. They helped those prophets understand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that shall be revealed. The prophets didn't understand it. We know that the 12 apostles didn't understand it in the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 18, verse 34 tells us that Jesus Christ tells them he's going to go to Jerusalem, die, rise again the third day. And it said they understood none of these things. Neither did they understood the things that were spoken. These things were hidden from them, Three times it's repeated that the 12 apostles had no idea that Jesus Christ was going to die on the cross. They're preaching the good news that he's going to set up a kingdom, so why would he die? The first time Peter's told that Jesus Christ is going to die when he goes to Jerusalem, Peter said, "Far be it from you, Lord, this won't happen to you." And because he's preaching Jesus Christ is here to set up a kingdom that's going to be forever in Jerusalem, over all the earth. And yet Jesus said there's going to be a suffering first. So they didn't understand that suffering. And as we talked about it in the angelic world, the angels looking into, you know, I remind you that when the Lord Jesus Christ came, Satan took him out and tempted him. And then after the temptation was over, the angels came and ministered to Christ. Do you remember when Jesus Christ was in the garden praying about this cup, knowing the wrath of God was going to be poured out on him? He's going to die for sin. He's praying for that. The apostles are asleep. They don't understand what he's doing, why he's so upset, why he's in this. The angels came and ministered to Jesus Christ. After the resurrection, the angels came and report, "He's risen, like he said, he rose from the dead." But my point to you, how strange it must have been for the angels to see Jesus Christ, God, become a man, walk the earth, and be rejected by his own people throughout his ministry, over and over again. Then they see his anguish in that garden, and they don't understand the anguish as well. Then they see him put on a cross and suffer at the hands of man, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. More than that, when the darkness covered the earth, and Jesus Christ cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The angels realized God the Father forsook God the Son. How confused they must have been to see what is going on here. I thought he was going to come and reign on the earth. We were saying peace on earth, goodwill toward men. But that didn't happen. He suffered and he died and they saw it. Then they see the death, burial, and resurrection. But not only that, Jesus Christ retreated, left the earth and went back into heaven. Angels, what's going on here? You know, it's not until you come to the Apostle Paul. Come over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And this is extremely important. This is where we ended our last study. No one understood what was accomplished in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The prophet said he would suffer. They said he would die. He said he'd rise again. So all that is recorded. But what was all that about that was never understood until God raised up Saul of Tarsus and made him Paul the apostle to the Gentiles, and to him was revealed the gospel of the grace of God. Not the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of the grace of God. How that 1 Corinthians 15 says Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18, Paul says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will make bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." The preaching is the preaching of the cross. Is the means by which God could save mankind. Not just save the nation of Israel so he could set up the kingdom, but he sent Paul to the Gentiles because the cross of Christ is the means by which God can save everybody from sin and rebellion. The redemption that's in the blood of Jesus Christ can save every sinner from all the sins they've ever committed, past, present, and future, and they can receive the gift of eternal life, all through the preaching of the cross. That the angels, what? That's what Jesus was happening on the cross? Look at verse chapter 2 and verse 6. "Albeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect," that is, everybody, you know, Corinth is right next to Greece. They thought they had all the knowledge of the world. "Albeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught." Principalities. "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." Now it's hidden wisdom. God ordained it before the world, before it was even created, and it's our glory. It's the cross work of Christ, verse 8, "which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Satan was instrumental in influencing mankind to crucify Jesus Christ to stop him from being king of the Jews. What the principalities on earth and the principalities in heaven did not know is that Jesus Christ was dying for the sins of the world, so not only could bring Israel's program about, but also he could reconcile the heavens unto himself through the ministry of the Apostle Paul and you and I in this dispensation of grace. If the princes of this world knew what Jesus Christ was accomplishing on that cross, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. But now when you come to the Apostle Paul, now they understand these things. So even the angels learn some things. Now before, I'm going to go further with this, but before I do, go back to Daniel chapter 10. Now I'm just going to tell you what we studied in Sunday school, not even tell you, I'm just going to read the verses actually, just to get to a certain verse. Daniel had another vision in chapter 10, and in verse 12 it says, "And he said unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me." Now that's the prince of the kingdom of Persia in an angelic realm stopped an angel from getting to Daniel, to verse 14, to tell him what's going to happen at the end time for the nation of Israel. He withstood him 1 and 20 days. And then it says, "But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee," to give him skill and understanding. So Daniel is now, that angel's released from that captivity, 21 days, because of Michael the archangel, and now he comes to tell Daniel. Now, in verse 20 it says, "Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I am come to thee? And now I will return and fight with the prince of Persia, and when I am gone forth, the prince of Grecia shall come." There's those principalities and powers, the invisible ones that we can't see. But there's something else we didn't see. "But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that hold with me in these things but Michael, your prince." See that phrase? This angel is telling Daniel what's written in the scripture of truth. It wasn't written in the book of Daniel yet. It's after Daniel gets this information that he writes Daniel chapter 10, and now that information is in our Bible. When he's talking about that scripture of truth, he's talking about what's written in the Bible that's in heaven. That angel read Daniel chapter 10, went down and told Daniel what's in the scripture of truth. And by the way, scripture is called what? Truth. It's God's word. And God's truth is going to come about. But now it's being told to Daniel, and what he reveals to Daniel, Daniel writes it in a book, and now we have the book right here on earth. But there was a scripture of truth that's up there in the heavens that's now being made known to Daniel so that the scripture of truth is here. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. We now have a Bible. But what I want you to understand, now that we were talking about those things in Israel's program, there's something that that angel never read in the scripture of truth in heaven. Never saw it a day in his life. Come over with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Day of his life. How long? Ever since creation. When God saved Saul of Tarsus and made him Paul the Apostle to the Gentiles, not only did he reveal the hidden mystery of the cross and what was accomplished on the cross as the complete payment for our sins, but he revealed to the Apostle Paul more things. In fact, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians is the capstone of the revelation given to the Apostle Paul. It says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 1, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." Nobody preached to Gentiles until the Apostle Paul. "If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you word." We live in the dispensation of the grace of God, where God is dispensing grace today to Jew and Gentile alike. All sinners can be saved by God's grace and receive the gift of eternal life for the purpose that God has for us. Remember that purpose we already talked about in Colossians, that Jesus Christ might be preeminent in all things, both which are in earth and which are in heaven. There's a rebellion in heaven, there's a rebellion on earth, and God's going to put down the rebellion on earth with the nation of Israel in a prophetic program. But what's going to happen with the heavens? Well, that's God's purpose for the body of Christ. So Paul says, we live in that dispensation of the grace of God. Verse 3 says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Now the mystery means something that was kept secret. I'll show you other verses about that. He says, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. There's something revealed to the Apostle Paul that Paul writes down in his epistles that are here, part of the Bible here on earth. What was given to Paul to write down here on earth was not written in the scripture of truth in the heavens until the Apostle Paul wrote them here on earth. Which, verse 5 says, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Now, just jump down to verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. When it says unsearchable, the Lord, when he came to Israel, says, search the scriptures, for they speak of me. But Paul says, the things I'm writing to you, they're unsearchable. Meaning you can search all through the Old Testament, you'll never find these things. Why? Watch the next verse. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. I want you to catch two things in that passage. First of all, when I call it the angelic reset, as we're observing angels in the age of grace, when we observed angels in the Israel's program, angels were telling men what of the truth of God, right? But in the age of grace, what Paul writes down was hidden God. The angels are learning from Paul. And, as it says, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church, by us, the manifold wisdom of God. Manifold means many-sided. They had the side of the prophetic program. They didn't understand the mystery program. But now, by us, the angels are learning some things. You talk about a reset, it's totally different. You realize how foolish people are who are trying to contact angels and get information from angels. When what Paul wrote down was things that were hid in God, now revealed, and the angels are learning from us the things that God had kept secret since the world began that affect the heavenly places. Because it's God's purpose for the body of Christ to use us to make Jesus Christ preeminent in all things, not just in earth, but also in heaven. And the angels are learning about that because as Paul writes it, the revelation that he received down, it was hid in God who created all things from the beginning, hid in God. Beginning of the world, it was hid in God. Look over in Romans chapter 16. In verse 25, it says this. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began but now is made manifest. What Paul preached about Jesus Christ was a mystery that was kept secret since the world began. If it was kept secret, where was it? Ephesians said it was hid in God. You know, I know something for a fact. No man can keep a secret. I want to warn you, you could have your best friend and you have something in mind and say, I want to tell you something that you can't tell anybody else. You promise? They say, I promise. And you tell them a secret. They think it's okay if they just tell their best friend. Now, there's something I'm going to tell you that you need to keep secret because I promised to keep it secret. And they're going to tell the next one. Man can't keep it a secret. But God kept a secret hid from the angels. The princes of this world never knew what Jesus Christ was accomplishing on the cross and never knew what the purpose of sending Paul out to the Gentiles to form the body of Christ is about, is to make Jesus Christ preeminent in the heavens. They never knew it because God can keep a secret. And he kept a secret until he revealed it to the Apostle Paul, and it was hid from the beginning of the world. It was hid in God. If you look over in Colossians chapter 1, where we were used as a scripture reading, after we read about God's purpose for the body of Christ, verse 23 says this, Colossians 1:23. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Paul's not just a minister to Israel, he's a minister to every creature under heaven. Who now rejoice, the creatures of earth, now rejoice in my suffering for you to fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ. What Christ suffered for, there's even more than what was revealed, and Paul's filling that up, filling us with that information of why Christ suffered in the flesh. I'll read the verse again. Who now rejoice in my suffering for you to fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. See, he suffered for us to form the body of Christ. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given me for you. Notice that phrase, to fulfill the word of God. The Bible was never complete until the revelation of the mystery was given to the Apostle Paul, and he brings the completion of God's program. There was a prophecy program that was already revealed, but Paul was revealed given the mystery program of God's purpose for the heavens and us for the purpose of making Jesus Christ preeminent in the heavens, that was revealed to the Apostle Paul, and that fulfilled the scriptures. Those are things the angels never knew. Watch the next verse. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generation, but now is made manifest to the saints. So since the beginning of the world, it's been hidden. It was a mystery kept secret since the beginning of the world, hid in God, hid from ages and generations. Now, I told you when Jesus Christ told his apostles he's going to Jerusalem and die, it's repeated three times that they didn't understand that. God has to repeat things sometimes so that you and I will get in our heads that they didn't understand. But you know how many times people are going out preaching the gospel, from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, preaching about how they were out there preaching that Jesus Christ is going to die on the cross for their sins? They never knew it a day until after the resurrection. And even after the resurrection, all they understood is that he had to suffer first and then reign. It's not until the Apostle Paul that they understood why he suffered, what he accomplished in his suffering. But there's people that read that verse, and that's not the only verse, but in Luke chapter 18, verse 34, and God says it three times, and they totally ignore it. You know what else they ignore? Three times in God's Word, he's talking about the mystery of the age of grace, was kept secret since the world began, hid in God, hid from ages and generations, and people think that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is all about the same thing Paul preached. They have no idea that there's a whole body of truth that was revealed to the Apostle Paul that has to do with us and the dispensation of grace. And they totally ignore that. They think Paul is just one of the 12, that he really was the right pick, that when Matthias killed himself, that now Paul's going to replace the 12. They have no idea that there's a whole different body of truth that's given to the Apostle Paul that interrupted Israel's prophetic program from what God said has happened to what will happen in the future and what God is doing today in the dispensation of grace. And that's, you know why people can't see it? It's because it shows, as Colossians, well, I'll just read the verse. It says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. The victory in the cross of not only making Jesus Christ preeminent in the earth, but making him preeminent in the heavens, that now with that truth revealed, those angels, God has made a show of them openly, showing their ignorance. Where they actually, who worked against Jesus Christ being king on the earth, actually helped Jesus Christ to be preeminent in all things. He made a show of them open. And those angels don't like that. Satan hates this dispensation of grace message, this secret revealed to the Apostle Paul. And he works hard to make sure no one understands it, that they mix this program with Israel's program and can't even get the gospel right when they do. Because there is no understanding of the cross work of Christ until you come to the Apostle Paul. So, anyhow, that's the angel's objective. You can see the reset. Now, there's some verses I want to show you. There's a whole bunch of verses we could talk about. But come with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, if you got the gospel reset, things are flipped over now. Angels are learning from us, a secret revealed to the Apostle Paul about us, the body of Christ. And as Paul reveals those things, the angels begin to understand the gospel. but they understand some other things. Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, the Corinthians are having a hard time figuring out who Paul is, and he's their apostle. But it says in verse 1, it says, "Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." Someone who's put in charge of revealing the things that God kept secret. If you're going to think of who I am, think of me that way. Verse 9, "For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed unto death. For we are made spectacles unto the world." And I think that has to do with the world system, the governments of this world. "And to angels and to men." Man is watching, but Paul, as he goes out and preaches, notice he says he's a spectacle to the angels. As if he's in the arena of the earth, revealing some things to earth that the world doesn't quite get, that man doesn't quite get, and the angels are up there and say, "What? God saved Saul of Tarsus, the enemy of Jesus Christ, who was trying to prevent him from being king of the nation of Israel, saved him by his grace, revealed the crosswork of Christ, and is revealing to him truths about heaven and God's purpose for the body of Christ." Angels looking down and say, "You saved that guy? And you're making him stewards of your mysteries that we're just learning from him, and he's a spectacle to us?" That's what Paul said he is. Come over to chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians. Corinthians were suing each other in court, going before unjust judges and asking them to settle issues. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 1, "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world?" Now that's the believers. Basically, the earth's going to be judged by the nation of Israel. "And if the world be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life?" Now, did you catch two truths in that verse? Not only are we going to judge angels, but we're going to judge angels in the next life. He's saying you can judge in this life man's dealings, but in the next life, we are going to judge angels. Can you imagine an angel up in heaven being a spectacle to the mysteries that Paul is revealing, saying, "What did he just say?" Or perhaps they read 1 Corinthians and said, "What did he write? Those Gentile sinners that were cut off from God for a long time, now God's saving them by his grace, and they're going to be placed in heavenly places judging us, angels?" They must have been in shock reading that verse. But you know, most believers don't know it because they don't understand who Paul is and what changed with the coming of the Apostle Paul in the dispensation of grace. Let me show you something else in 1 Corinthians. Come over to chapter 11. It says in verse 2, "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." You know, when we talk about thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers, there's a government order of who's got the most authority. God has the most authority. Under him is the Lord Jesus Christ. And right now, as it pertains to the earth and in his ministry, man has got authority. Then comes the wife, the woman. Women have been rebelling ever since Eve, wanting the place that the man has. But God has an order, and people don't like God's order. And Paul is setting the order down because there's a rebellion going on at Corinth where women, they used to pray with their head covered. They're praying with their head uncovered because I'm just like a man and I don't have to show. That head covering showed that she was under her husband's authority. But she's rejecting that. Now we could talk about whether that has to be done today. That's not one of our customs. But that was a custom in their day. And so it says, Paul is saying that a woman praying uncovered is dishonoring her husband. Verse 10 is what I want you to see. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head. That is, to have that covering to show that there's authority over her head. There's authority over her. The authority is her husband, the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Why'd Paul say that? You think the angels are interesting? God saved Paul, sent him to the Gentiles. He's saving Gentiles who are going to judge us. Look at the, even those saved Gentiles are in rebellion against God's order. But the angels are watching us, learning from us. And if you don't obey God's order, you're teaching them rebellion against God. And that verse is there to remind you that we're spectacles to the angels, that the angels are learning from us how we need to read this Bible and believe what God said and live according to the truth of the Scripture, because it has an effect not only in the earth, and it does have that, but it has an effect on the angels as well. So Paul throws that in there. So you can see there's been a reset, and today we're teaching the angels things. Now go to Ephesians chapter 1. I think I can bring this to a conclusion, I think. It will be the conclusion. You keep reading, like in verse 4 of Ephesians 1, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. To the glory of God's grace, what God is accomplishing in us causes God's grace to be glorified. It says, verse 8, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. God has revealed the mystery of his will, more than what was revealed about his will before. According to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself, and here's the mystery of God's will, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, when time has run its course, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. God's going to take everything in heaven and earth and set it under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the mystery of God's will. And to accomplish that, verse 11, in whom ye have obtained an inheritance, we're part of that purpose. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Verse 14, we're sealed with the earnest of the Spirit unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. All of this is happening to the praise of the glory of God's grace. What he is doing for us brings glory to Jesus Christ. And what I want you to see, I have to drop to verse 20. It has to do with what God's accomplishing with us. Well, verse 19 says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named. Jesus Christ is exalted in the heavens. Now watch what it's for. Not only in this world, but also that which is to come. He's exalted now and even in the future. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, that's us, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Do you realize we're part of the fullness of Jesus Christ? In Jesus Christ, all fullness would dwell. It's God's will that Jesus Christ be preeminent in heaven and earth. He's going to be preeminent. You can read Numbers chapter 14. It's amazing because Numbers 14 is when Israel failed to go into the land. God was going to destroy the nation of Israel, start all over again with Moses. But he told Moses, as I live, the earth will be filled with my glory. Israel might fail, but I won't fail. The earth will be filled with my glory. But God has a goal, not just the earth filled with the glory of Jesus Christ. We are going to be raptured off of this earth, as it says in Ephesians chapter 2, seated with Christ in heavenly places, and we're going to be raised with glorified bodies like unto his glorious body to radiate the glory of Jesus Christ throughout the heavens. So just as the earth is going to be filled with the glory of God, we're the fullness of him that filleth all in all, heaven, earth, and heaven. And we are going to be the glory of God throughout the heavens. As Satan and his angels in Revelation 12 are cast down, and the Bible says their place is no more found. Because you and I have been saved to be exalted into the heavenly places and exalt Jesus Christ and his glory in those heavenly places. That's God's purpose for this age of grace. And angels, I just can't imagine. Man is made lower than the angels. They look down and say, you are not only going to save them by your grace, they're not only going to judge us, but they're going to be the glory of Jesus Christ throughout the heavens when God cleanses the heavens and raptures up the church, the body of Christ. You're going to use human beings to put them over the angels. God says, yep, now you know my manifold wisdom. And now you know it too. Be careful of any church that don't even know what God's doing today. This church ought to be full. And one of the things you learn about in Ephesians chapter 6 is we wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places. They don't want this truth known. And they got preachers preaching everything else other than this truth, because this truth shows that they have been spoiled by the crosswork of Jesus Christ and that their doom is just ahead of them. Let's pray. Now, just so that you know, with your head bowed and eyes closed, your doom don't have to be ahead of you. If you'll realize the crosswork of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything you've ever done to dishonor God, every sin you've ever done, every disobedience, every rebellion, Jesus Christ paid for when he went to that cross. He died for our sins. And he put those sins away in his burial. And the Bible says he was raised for our justification. And when you believe and trust in the crosswork of the Lord Jesus Christ, God declares you righteous. That means justifying you on the basis of faith. And gives you the gift of eternal life, having forgiven you all trespasses. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, don't let Satan stop you from doing it today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, just in your own heart, make a decision of faith, saying, I'll believe that. And as soon as you do, God gives you the gift of eternal life. Our Father, we thank you for the things we studied today. We thank you. We see how different it is from you dealing with the nation of Israel. And what a wonderful truth that we get to be a part of. Pray that we'll honor you in our life, as we know that it's not just a testimony to people on this earth, but a testimony to the angelic world as well. And not only how we act, but what we preach and say, as this truth is making known to them your manifold wisdom. In our Savior's name we pray and thank you. Amen.